Welcome to That's Wild Podcast, the podcast that explores the amazing natural world that surrounds us and astounds us. I'm your MC, Dustin Bean, and our hosts, Susan Altrui and Joy Matlock, will share insights and mind-blowing facts that will leave you saying, "That's wild." It's all about inspiring you, the listener, to value and conserve our natural world. That's Wild is brought to you by the Arkansas Zoological Foundation and produced by the Little Rock Zoo. So with that, let's get wild.
All right, Joy.
Yeah.
It's another one of my favorites. Eating.
Eating.
That's what we're talking about
today. We've talked about sleeping.
And now we're going to be talking about eating.
Now we're talking about eating. Okay.
Welcome back to That's Wild. It's the podcast where we talk about all things fun and fancy. And today we're talking about eating and all things fun.
So,
welcome, Joy.
Thank you for having me yet again. And I think we'll have Hannah again today, and we'll be talking about eating.
That's right. We're talking about animal diets and eating behaviors.
Love it. Love it. So everybody will love it. Grab a snack.
Love it. That's right.
Sit back, get ready, and we're going to have a festival.
Right. Sit back and relax. I'm Susan Altrui from the Little Rock Zoo, and I'm joined with my co-host, Joy Matlock.
I'll be good. We'll have a buffet of facts.
We've got a hungry cast of characters, if you will. And that includes some animal experts, one of which is Hannah, who's going to bring us a ravenous surprise from the zoo that's going to be on later. So can't wait for that.
I'll be good. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be some truly fascinating facts today about creatures and how they eat. So I'm excited to get into it.
Hey, grab a snack, sit back and relax.
Yeah.
I love the puns. I can't get enough of it. Oh, I can't get enough of this. Yeah.
So, let's start off by talking about cows.
Okay.
They are truly fascinating creatures.
Yes, they are.
Did you know their stomachs actually have four compartments?
Yeah, okay.
Each compartment works together like a built-in food processing plant.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah, those four compartments of a cow's stomach, the rumen, reticulum, omasum, and obasum, extract all the nutrients possible from their plant-based diets.
The rumen, one of those four that you mentioned, for example, is like a bustling fermentation factory, breaking down those tough plant fibers with the help of the friendly microbe crew.
Okay, okay. Now, this is the one that I love how this omasum, it works to extract all the water from the food and works like a water management system. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Yeah.
It's amazing how cows have evolved to be ultimate food processing machines.
Yep.
So next time you see a cow grazing peacefully in the meadow, just make sure you remember that a lot is going on there with their
food. I've always loved cows. You know, cows are peaceful animals. I've always thought they're beautiful animals. I like cows.
They are beautiful. And they are peaceful. I mean, they give us milk.
Yeah.
They give us cute calves.
They give us delicious steak. Let's not forget that.
That's right. For those meat eaters out there.
For the meat eaters out there. That's right. For the ones who eat meat.
Yeah, for the ones who eat meat. But yeah, there's a lot going on there. I guess when I grew up, I used to think that they had four stomachs. I guess what people think.
Yeah.
But it's not four individual stomachs. It's four compartments.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So it interesting.
It is interesting. Very, very interesting. So, you know, a lot of people have asked us at the zoo, why do we not have pandas?
Yes, Susan, why does the Little Rock Zoo not have pandas?
It's a whole thing we don't have pandas. There's a lot of reasons. Pandas are interesting. You know, pandas are all owned by the Chinese government.
Yes.
And that's a really interesting thing. So it's very political. To have pandas at a zoo, and it's heavily negotiated to have pandas at your zoo. And so the zoos that have them, they're very fortunate, and it's an arrangement between the Chinese government and those zoos, and it goes through the top levels of our government to get those pandas at the zoo. You know, the National Zoo just got pandas back.
Yes.
So we're grateful to have them there. They're adorable, they're cute, they're wonderful, but it's hard to have pandas at your zoo. One of the reasons it's also hard to have pandas is because they are picky eaters. Yeah. And adorable, but picky.
And they like bamboo, though. I know that, right?
Mm-hmm, they do, but they like specific types, and they're very, very picky. 99% of their diet is bamboo. And they are classified as carnivores, which is interesting, but they choose a mostly bamboo diet. And they even spend up to 12 hours of the day munching on it to meet their nutritional needs.
So you said that they are carnivores, though. So what else do they eat?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. All I know is that they eat a heck of a lot of bamboo. That's all I know that they eat.
Well,
you might have to go to Google for that.
That's true.
So. Especially in China, it's plentiful. So there
is. Yes, it is. Okay. You know, and so when we've had them here, you know, when Memphis Zoo had them, mm-hmm. FedEx was a big help because they were helping to get them over here. And Memphis was having to grow a lot of the bamboo. Oh, yeah. And so that was a big, big deal. But yeah, you have to grow a lot of that bamboo for them. Mm-hmm. Now, look, bamboo grows quickly, so it's not really a problem. So anyone that knows has ever had bamboo in their backyard, it's you know, you can grow it quickly. But yeah, they eat a lot of bamboo.
Well, another thing you were talking about, how difficult it is to get pandas. Mm-hmm. The other thing is expense. Yeah. You said that FedEx helped Memphis, so that was nice for FedEx to have that sponsorship.
I do think, actually, that pandas will actually eat eggs, and that they will sometimes eat rodents or birds if they can get to them. I'm not entirely certain on that one, but I think that is also. But I do know for a fact they eat 99% of their diet in bamboo.
Well, I mean, if you know what you like, don't. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, if you know what you like, just stick with that.
One thing I know for a fact too is it's a big silly bear. There's just all these great photos of them just playing in the snow, and you know, people love the pandas. You know,
well, we're talking about how they are very very much like bamboo, 99% of their diet. It reminds me of another picky eater, the koala.
Yes, the koala.
The koala mainly eats eucalyptus.
Say eucalyptus. 10 times faster. Eucalyptus.
Yes, but even though there are about 90 or so types of eucalyptus, they only like 12 of those types.
Well, my gosh, what's wrong with the other types?
Well, ask the koala. I have no idea. But and of those 12, they'll only eat the best leaves.
Oh, my gosh.
So I guess you could equate that to a toddler. I know I've had friends that said their children will only eat, you know, chicken nuggets and fries. And they'll go through
picky eaters.
That's what they want. So we have picky eaters in the animal kingdom as well. So.
I mean, I guess you don't want to go out to eat with them. They're always going to be sending their food back.
Probably so.
My gosh.
Probably so.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's another reason why we don't have koalas at the zoo, because they're just too picky, you know. Maybe one day we'll get koalas at the zoo. You just never know. They are awfully cute. Awfully cute.
But there's some animals that, even though we've been talking about picky eaters, there's some that'll eat anything.
That's true. No doubt about that. So, on the opposite side of the spectrum, we do have that. So, let's talk about hyenas.
Hyenas.
Which are considered to be like a garbage disposal. I love hyenas. They're so fascinating. Spotted hyenas that live on the savannah. Life is hard. Life is very, very hard. So they've learned to adapt. They eat quickly. They eat quickly because there's lots of predators around. There's things happening. And so they will eat every bit of that kill. They don't just eat the meat, but they will eat most of that prey. And sometimes including the bones. They'll eat the hooves, the horns, the hair, and sometimes they'll regurgitate, and they'll eat that too. Yeah, yum.
Well, I mean, if you don't know when your meal's coming, and you're going to scavenge after other animals, you got to make sure you eat everything. Also, finish off the leftovers from any lions or any other larger prey that
eat. Steal from the lions,
and they'll steal from them too. So
now, I want to talk a little bit about our friends, the spotted hyenas, because there's some other interesting facts about.
Oh, please do tell.
They live in matriarchies.
Do they?
They do.
Actually, I think I've heard that.
They do. Yes,
factoid
they do. Matter of fact, the lowest ranking male in their order, that's interesting because that is still it's interesting how they rank, because the highest ranking male is still ranked lower than the lowest ranking female.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. Interesting.
That's right. So that's even if you're a high ranking male in the spotted hyena world, you are still not ranked higher than the lowest ranking female.
Well, you know, that makes sense. Because when we talked about hyenas, I thought about the movie Lion King.
Yeah.
And if you remember, there was the hyenas that were with Scar. And because they wanted Scar to be king for right. whatever reason. But yeah. I remember it was Whoopi Goldberg's character,
yes.
who was kind of like the leader of yes. the group of hyenas. So
that's
that
right.
Sense, Phil,
it's female.
But you see, yes, that yes. they have a matriarchy.
It's a matriarchy.
The
yes, and the females inherit the mother's rank.
Oh wow!
That's how the ranking yeah. order comes down. They okay. inherit the mother's rank. So it's interesting, and they're led by an alpha female. Yeah.
So they're in line for the throne. All the daughters are in line.
That's right.
That's right. Interesting. I love
very
that.
Interesting in the spotted hyena world, how that all goes down. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're mm-hmm. going to have a special guest today.
Oh, yeah? Lorna.
Yes. O'Connor, I think she's bringing a winged friend this time.
Okay.
So we would love to figure out exactly how.
Is she bringing snacks?
I don't know.
Oh.
We'll see.
No snacks?
We'll talk to her about that.
Probably not, but that's okay.
We'll tell her that's price of admission next time.
Right.
But let's bring on Hannah.
Let's bring on Hannah.
And her friend coming up. Hannah, out of all of the guests, I mean, all of them are cute and cuddly, but I think this is the most gorgeous.
I have to say, out of all the guests, you guys, I love all animals, yes. but owls are one of my very favorites, so I've got a lot to say.
She's beautiful. This is... Yes.
So Willow. Who do we have?
Thank you. This is Willow. She's just going to wing it. Okay, so this is Willow, the barred owl. And if you are not just listening, if you're watching, I do have to address this beautiful green towel that we have behind her. These guys go to the bathroom a lot. Do you know why it is?
Why do they do that?
Do you have any idea?
No. Oh, wait. Is it the size of their stomachs?
You're thinking in the right direction. Okay. So they have no bladder.
So
birds that fly cannot have a bladder because it holds extra weight. So they have to just let it go.
Wow.
Have it. So, okay. This precious couch tried to be protected.
So she's going to go a lot then.
She could.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Tell us about her.
Okay. So Willow she's been with us for a while. She was rehabilitated or attempted to be rehabilitated. She was injured in the wild. So these guys are native to Arkansas. And she had a wing injury. So she cannot fly. And like we'll talk about in a minute, obviously, owls have to be able to fly to get their food and to hunt. So not being able to fly means she could not live in the wild.
I see.
Yeah.
So since you talked about it a little bit, tell us about how she hunts.
Okay.
Or how the species hunts.
Yeah. So owls have some incredible adaptations for hunting. They love to eat. And like me, they are opportunistic. They'll eat almost anything you put in front of them. But they're big on eating rodents. That's like a really big thing these guys eat. So here are some adaptations. You guys see this heart-shaped face she has?
Gorgeous, yes. Yeah.
It's like a satellite dish. So owls are built for hearing because they're hunting at night a lot of the times. Not all owls are nocturnal, but she is. So they've got to be able to hear anything around them at night without seeing it very well. So this is all built to be like a satellite dish to catch sound and send it to her ears.
Wow.
Owls also have, some owls, asymmetrical ears. So they've got one ear up high and one down low.
Wow.
Do you know why that is?
Any
guesses?
No.
You might enjoy having asymmetrical ears.
I can't.
Does it help to pinpoint the sound better?
Exactly.
Okay.
Wow.
It can pinpoint whether the sound is above them, below them, wow. to the left or to the right. So they can form it like a picture of exactly where it is. Speaking of hearing, and she's showing off her beautiful wing for you right now.
Gorgeous.
They have totally silent flight, so they have very special feathers. Mm-hmm. So if you hear a bird flying, it's not an owl. They make no sound. And that's because they have fringes on their feathers that muffle the sound of air. They can sneak up on anything.
Wow.
Those are just a few of their adaptations for hunting.
She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous.
Just incredible.
They are.
I didn't know any of that about owls. That's just absolutely incredible.
That is just the tip of the iceberg, my friend. Shall we keep going?
Yes, please.
Steps more. So one of the things I really like to talk about with owls is that these guys, like I said, they eat rodents. So if you have a rat problem on your property, you've probably both heard me say this before. Rat poison isn't the greatest thing for wildlife because if a rat eats the poison and then Willow were to come by and eat the rat, she gets poisoned. Mm. So a safe alternative or something you can try doing is building a nest box. And if you can somehow manage to attract the family of owls to your yard, just try to guess how many rodents you think they would eat in a year.
Oh, in a year.
Yeah. Just 100.
Thousands.
So
wow.
That's a lot.
That's wild.
That's wild. Yep. She is a good eater. So a pair of owls, depending on the owl, of course, and the size and everything like that, could eat thousands of rodents the same way.
In a single year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way to keep the rodents away.
They're really good pest control if you've got them around. You would know if you had these around, especially here in Arkansas. There are only two owls that hoot, so not all owls hoot. If you hear hooting in our fence hall, it's either a barred owl or a great horned owl. So yes. She does hoot.
Very cool.
Yeah. She's very serious about this right now.
Very serious.
Now, even though they do hear really well, they do also see really well at night. So they don't just rely on their hearing, but that's a big thing for them.
Is that any connection to the color of her eyes for her sight?
Yes. So, of course, there are exceptions to the rule, but if an owl's eyes are black, that usually means they're true nocturnal hunters.
Okay.
If an owl's eyes are yellow, they tend to be crepuscular, like great horned owls. Mm-hmm. That basically means they come out at dawn and dusk. So, yes, it is one of the indications, because we don't want I'm not a nocturnal owl, always. but she doesn't want light reflecting on her eyes if they were a color and giving her away at night. So,
talk to us about owl pellets.
Yes, I would love to. So, did you guys ever get to dissect one in school?
I did not.
So, they will, again, like me, just eat anything without question. So, and I mean it. So they just get rid of anything that's not digestible. So they'll cough up a pellet sometimes multiple times a day. Pretty much every time they eat a meal, they're going to cough up the...
This is amazing.
Jeez. What does it look like?
So it looks like just a little... It depends on what they eat. So when she has chicken or chick, it's like a little yellow blob with feathers. It's basically anything. It's bones, feathers, teeth. They tell exactly what they eat and based on those pellets.
But something they can't digest.
Right. Correct. Okay, and it looks crazy when they throw them up. Wow. They're pretty sizable.
And you said they do multiple times a day.
They pretty much do it every time for every meal.
I see.
They eat.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's an adaptation that they've gotten, I guess. Yeah. So they can't digest something. They'll just regurgitate the pellet.
Yep.
That's new to me. I had never heard of that.
Really?
Yes.
That's what they are?
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of really, really cool. And obviously they don't chew because they have a beak. They don't. So we like to say... They use their beak and their talons like their knife and their fork. So the talons are how they grab onto their food. This beak, I know it looks like she'd be able to hold silverware with her wings. She cannot. So she uses this beak to tear little pieces off so that she can have a little bite-sized snack.
So, question. Does that mean that they eat them live, the rodents? They kill them first and then eat them?
They kill them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's a lot safer for them to kill them before they start eating.
How sharp are those talons? You've got quite a glove on there.
They are very sharp. So these talons are one of the three things that actually make an owl a raptor. I should have brought that up at the beginning, but they are birds of prey. So birds of prey have these forward-facing eyes. They have a hooked beak, like their knife and their fork, and they have these talons. So even though she's not a very big bird, she's got a lot of force in those talons. So if she were upset, that's what she would try to grab you with. That's her main defense. That's how she catches her food. And that's why I have to wear a glove.
And speaking of, you said she's not a very big bird. How much does she weigh? Because she looks like she weighs probably 6 or 7 pounds.
I will say she's about the size of our African penguins, who obviously don't fly, and they're about 10 pounds.
Okay.
She only weighs about 1.5 pounds to 2 pounds.
That's so serious.
Yep. All, again, so they can fly.
Yeah. Oh, never miss that at all.
Yeah, they're very light.
So that's the difference between solid bones and hollow bones?
Yes.
Wow.
How amazing.
So if you're flighted or not flighted, that's the big difference.
Yep.
That's amazing. She's gorgeous.
She is.
For our people who are listening to us, Willow has this beautiful face with kind of grayish feathers. And then the bulk of her feathers that go down her body are like this gorgeous chocolate brown with gray speckles in it. And she is just beautiful. And these huge black eyes.
I say she looks like a Muppet. She's her most photogenic.
She's a gorgeous Muppet. Thank you so much for having her on. We are just absolutely awestruck by her.
We are.
As we should be.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hannah.
Of course.
You know, Joy, every time we have a beautiful creature on our show like Willow, it just reminds me the importance of conserving our natural world. It's so important that we remind ourselves of things like not throwing trash out of our car doors, of doing things like recycling, of being sustainable in our everyday practices and just doing what we can to be clean in our own environment.
For sure. And the little things that we do have an impact on our animal friends. Like Hannah was mentioning, if you've got maybe a rodent problem, not putting out poisons and maybe building owl boxes and owl nests to attract those natural predators to those rodents, so that not only are they getting fed, but they're having healthy or non-poisoned food to eat.
Yes.
And you're helping that cycle of life.
Yeah, there's so many different ways that that we can find natural ways to solve problems and also help the environment.
At the same time.
Yes, and so many different things that we can do.
You learned a lot.
Yes. We did. We learned a lot, and we saw some beautiful animals, too. We love that. Well, thank you for joining us on That's Wild. I am your host, Susan Altrui, joined here with my beautiful and amazing co-host, Joy Matlock. Please join us again for another episode of That's Wild.
We'll see you next time.